I guess one issue this brings up, and I can remember, I think I might have heard about this when I fellowship in oncology, is the blood-brain barrier. First of all, is there a blood-brain barrier? And what's the explanation for why osimertinib works? Is it related to the blood-brain barrier or just that it's a better therapy?
Yeah, so the blood-brain barrier is definitely something people talk about. They continue to use this concept a lot. And this is really the idea that blood vessels in the CNS have a little bit more adhesion and a little bit more difficulty for toxins to permeate and, you know, thought to be an evolutionary advantage for our species. The concept of blood-brain barrier has been used to say that, oh, you know, some drugs don't cross the blood-brain barrier. But, you know, frankly, we have cancer cells in the brain. Somehow they crossed the blood-brain barrier. And so in these patients, typically the blood-brain barrier has been disrupted. And so I think that's less of an important concept. Now, there was a time where I said, oh, the blood-brain barrier doesn't exist. It's been disrupted for all of our patients with brain metastases. Stop talking about it. But at the same time, you know, we aren't seeing the same response rates in the CNS that we do see systemically for any of these drugs. And so I think these drugs must encounter some greater resistance to get into the CNS. By optimizing drugs to do that, the newer generation of drugs like osimertinib, alectinib, brigatinib are definitely dealing with the problem that we had.
You know, the other thing I think that you showed from that FLAURA trial was also the rates of CNS progression, which seemed like they were less in the osimertinib arm.
Yeah, I think the sort of profound thing to me is if you look at the rate of CNS progression, the hazard ratio, and the rate of systemic progression, the hazard ratio, they're exactly the same. They really show us that these drugs are equally effective in the CNS as they are systemically.